Oh, that was weak. I said, how many know we serve a good God? Has he been good to you? Amen. How many know that God is good all the time? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. And this morning, amen, I hope that you're ready, amen, for God to speak into your life. Amen. Did anybody come ready for a word? Amen. Praise the Lord. And this morning, amen, it's a privilege to have with us, amen, my pastor, amen, my spiritual father, amen, and my mentor. And you know, he came to Texas all the way from California, amen, in the year 1994. And in that year, I remember in 1994, I was out in the streets gangbanging. I remember I was a young kid, amen. I was out there, you know, just running the streets, getting kicked out of high school, getting into fights, amen. But I thank God that in that year, God decided to send my pastor, amen, to come to the city of Dallas to start a work, amen. And it's because of that work, amen, that started back then, amen, that years later I would be able to walk in through the doors of the church there in Victory Arch, Dallas, amen. I came in through the men's home, and I thank God, amen, for my pastors, amen, for them answering the call of God upon their lives, amen. And you should thank them too, because if it wasn't for them, there would be no us, amen. Praise the Lord. And the years that I was able to be there with my pastor for those years, amen, I came into the ministry in 2002, and then in 2010, they launched us out, amen, they launched us out. And so during those years, amen, that we were there, you know, I learned so much. I remember first coming to the church, and they're on Main and Peak Street in East Dallas, amen, and it was a building, amen, it was a shotgun building, and remember stepping into that church and just feeling the presence of God, amen. I knew it was different, amen, it was different, something I had never seen before, and never experienced before. You know, I didn't grow up going to church, amen, but I remember when I stepped into that house of God, amen, and then, you know, seeing him get behind the pulpit and begin to preach, you know, I remember just falling in love, amen, falling in love not only with God, but even with the vision and with his preachings, amen, and it was just hearing him preach week in and week out, amen, that I caught the vision, amen. I caught the vision, you know, to the vision of God, amen, to come out and just to reach the treasures out of darkness, amen, to reach men that were like myself, amen. So I'm very grateful, amen, for the man and the woman of God that God used to, you know, to disciple me, to train me, amen. Praise the Lord, amen. We always say this, amen, Jesus saved me, V.O. raised me, amen. Praise the Lord. I'm a firm believer, amen, that we need to have spiritual parents in our lives, amen. We need to have leaders over our lives, amen. And my pastor, he's a great man of God, amen. A great spiritual father, amen. Your spiritual grandfather, amen. And so I hope that your hearts are open, amen, to receive, amen. Because this morning, amen, I want you to know that there's going to be something that's imparted into your life. Amen. There's something that's going to be imparted into your life. And if you have an open heart, an open ear, then you'll catch it. Amen. You'll catch it. Amen. So it was through hearing him preach that I was able to catch not only the vision, but the DNA of our ministry. This morning, I hope that you really just learn. Amen. This is the rock that we've been cut from. Amen. So it's a good rock. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, Victory Outreach Grand Prairie, will you help me welcome your spiritual grandfather, Pastor Jesse Perez?
Praise the Lord, amen. It's good to be here with Victory Outreach Grand Prairie, amen. Thank you for the invitation to come and to just share God's word, amen, and, you know, to celebrate Jesus. Amen. Yeah, amen. Celebrate Jesus. We had a great service. The first service. Amen. ¿Cuántos pueden decir amen?
Amen.
We had a great Sunday morning. Amen. The first one. And now we're here again for the second service. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Amen. Praise the Lord before I preach. Amen. Thank you, worship team. Amen. Just want to thank your pastors. Amen. For that introduction. Amen. Because, you know, you do think back, you know, about, you know, when we did come 25 years ago, we came in 94, and you just don't know who you're going to reach. Right. You know, you just don't know who you're going to come in contact with, you know, that is going to, you know, just grab onto God and then let the Lord just use your life. And it's just a blessing, amen, because I remember seeing Pastor Francisco in the home, and then Sylvia, amen, lived with us for a long time. And, you know, just all of us, you know, just building a little church, and all of us going through the streets and having rallies and marches, and just seeing, you know, great things happen, doing dramas and concerts. Yeah. And just through all of that, amen, you're able to, you know, have a young man, a young woman catch the vision. Amen. Catch the vision and then desire to do something. Amen. And not overlook cities, not overlook, you know, what's happening around us. Amen. But saying, you know what? You know, God's called us to go out and to start a church.
Right.
And we desire to go out and to start a church. And so me and Valerie started to groom them, started to groom them and teach them and show them, answer questions and believe in them. And lo and behold, here we are going on 10 years. Amen. Your church has been here for 10 years, and that's a victory, because if a church doesn't last 5 years, it's not going to last at all. Amen. And there's a lot of people that go out and try to start churches, and they won't last 5 years. Amen. The enemy comes in, or the marriage falls apart, or adultery comes in, or something happens. Amen. But you've been here 10 years. Amen. So that goes to show that I think, or I believe, that you're here to stay.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That this church ain't going nowhere as far as leaving,
right,
amen.
Right.
But it's going to move forward to allow the Holy Spirit to build, amen.
Yeah.
And you know, this morning we were talking, you know, I shared my testimony this morning in Spanish, but we were talking about some of the things that the Apostle Paul did, amen. And one of the things that the Apostle Paul did was that he planted churches,
right,
amen.
Yeah. Yes.
We're not talking about you getting mad and going to start a church in rebellion. Amen. We got those people around us. Amen. And their foundation is marred, and their foundation is cracked. Amen. We talk about doing it biblically. There's a form and a way of doing it according to the Bible. Amen. And that's what we do. Amen. Launch out churches. Amen. And then also we talked about raising up leaders. Amen. And I think I made it real clear that this church ain't going to grow unless God raises up leaders.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
And I want you to look at yourself as one. Amen.
Yes.
And I also said that if you're a dad, you're a leader. If you're a mom, you're a leader.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
If you're at a company, you're a leader. Amen.
Yeah.
So God is raising up leaders here in Victory Harvest Grand Prairie. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
We need leaders.
Yes.
God is looking for leaders.
Yes.
Amen.
That's right.
And then the third thing that we talked about this morning was about raising of finances. Amen.
Yes.
Learning
yes.
to be tithers. Amen.
Yes.
And what a beautiful job that Pastor Josh did. Amen. Raising up finances and being up here. I know some of you will probably look at him and say, God, he takes so long talking about money. Yeah, but you take so long going to Walmart.
Right.
You can't sleep. You'll jump in your car and go walk around Walmart, even if you ain't got no money. Amen. Tempted to steal gum. But we talked about raising the money, raising the finances, because we need finances to do the ministry. Amen.
Amen.
Nothing's for free. Amen.
Yeah.
And by saying all of that, that's exactly what we're doing there in East Dallas. Amen.
Amen.
I bring greetings from our church this morning. We're having this morning, we have a fellow by the name of Dr. Ferris Hill. Amen.
Amen.
He used to be the drummer for the Gap Band. Amen.
Oh, wow.
That's what he says. Amen. But, you know, and so he's a real good singer. And, you know, so we're having him there this morning. Amen. And then, so they're having a good time. I got a few texts. Amen. God's loving. And praise the Lord. Amen. God is having a good time there. And so are the people. Amen. And we bring greetings. Amen. From the church there. And then also my wife, Valerie. Valerie this morning couldn't be here. She had plans to come, but she just got this real bad cough, amen, and so she's really kind of not feeling too good. And then she has to fly out early Monday to the Women's Convention, amen, and so she needs to get well, amen. So keep her in your prayers,
amen.
But she does send her love to Sylvia, of course, and then to all of you, and it's never the same without her, amen. I was even texting her, hey, I preached in Spanish. She texted, did you cuss? No, she didn't say that. She didn't say that. Sometimes you don't even know what you're saying in Spanish, amen. It just comes out. And that's not my language, amen. You know, español, no hablo español mucho, pero sí lo uso. But I don't speak it all the time, amen. But, you know, I kind of like showed myself, like, man, maybe I should just start, you know, rushing up a little bit, you know? Kind of woke up something inside of me and launched myself to Mexico or something. But, you know, she sends her love, amen. She sends her love, and so keep her in prayer. And then we're here this morning. But how many know that we're coming back tonight?
That's right. Amen.
And I want you to know that in the newspaper, you'll never read in the obituaries that somebody died because going to church too much.
Come on now.
Amen.
Right.
You're not going to OD. Amen. You're not going to die. Oh, I got to go to church again.
Yeah.
Amen. I mean, I don't think that we go to church enough.
Right. Amen. Amen.
So we'll be here tonight, and then I'll be teaching on leadership, urban leadership. Amen.
Amen.
And because your church needs to raise up leaders, and if God's going to raise up leaders, then leaders need to know what to do.
Yeah.
Amen. Leaders need to know how to work it, how to do it, how to build others, how to see potential in others, and then to be an asset and to be a blessing here in the church that God put you. Amen.
Yeah.
I mean, no, you don't want to come in here and become a leader and then, you know, cause havoc.
That's
amen.
Right.
Kick up dust. Amen. And rock the boat. Amen. Don't rock the boat. Amen. You want to be a leader, amen, that knows how to submit, that knows how to do things, amen. You want to reap what you sow, amen. Good followers make good leaders, amen. So if you want to, you know, be a good leader, learn to listen and learn to apply it so that you can see others that you're going to work with become the same thing. Amen. Good leaders, amen. Praise the Lord. And then also brought with me, amen, Pastor Mondo and Sister Christina, or should I say they brought me, amen. Amen. They brought me, amen, this morning, amen. And then Brother Paul's also here, amen. Good armor bearer, amen. Both of them, amen. And so we know that we're getting ready. After the World Conference, we're going to be launching Pastor Mondo and Sister Christina to Wichita Falls.
Amen.
And then you're also pregnant, amen. You're also pregnant because you'll be sending now Pastor Josh and his wife to Irving, Texas.
Amen.
You know, what a beautiful thing that is, because, you know, when we came in 1994, amen, it was just me and Valerie and my two kids, a five-year-old and an eight-year-old, you know, and we didn't really even know what was going on, amen. We just said yes to the Lord, jumped in an 87 Nissan Sentra and started driving to Texas. When we got to El Paso, man, we got all excited, started combing our hair, and I was driving a Nissan without a shirt. It was hot. We're blasting Christian oldies, and then we got to El Paso. We said, we're there, come on, get ready, and we found out we're still 12 hours away. Not only that, man, but then also we seen signs that said, don't mess with Texas. So we started hearing the voice of the devil. Don't mess with Texas. I'm going to destroy you. I'm going to destroy your family. I'm going to destroy your children. I'm going to destroy your marriage. And, you know, when I came with Valerie, we found a house. And then when we found our house, I drove her to San Antonio. I dropped her off. And then me and a young man drove back to San Jose. And then I came back by myself in a little car in our 87. That little car drove us back and forth about 6-7 times. And then it finally died. Amen. But I remember coming back by myself. My pastor said, you need to take somebody with you. That's a long ride. I said, nah, I was just crazy back then. Amen. 25 years ago, I was just crazy. Amen. I know I look crazy, but I was crazier back then. And I remember coming and passing through El Paso. And I had seen, you know, don't mess with Texas. But this time it was different. I seen it and I heard the devil saying that stuff to me. And I remember, man, I'll be honest with you, I started to cry. Hello. Amen. We like to say broken. I just started crying. Amen. I turned into a chion. Amen. I started to look at myself like, what am I doing? I mean, what? I mean, and finally, it really did hit me like, what am I doing? Who do I think I am? Who does this stuff? And I remember just, man, just, you know, don't mess with Texas. And I remember just, I didn't know what to say, man. All I said was, it's too late for that. Devil, it's too late. You know, my wife is in San Antonio with my kids. We got a little house in Dallas. And when I get there, man, I'm going to bring her back on Greyhound. And we're going to open up shop. And we're going to start hitting the streets. It was too late. Amen.
Yes.
You know, to make a long story longer, amen. We were there, and we were there for a number of years, and then our church started to grow. And, you know, we started to see young men like Francisco and Sylvia, Kevin and Mildred and Mike and Wanda and, you know, Paul, Buffy, Mondo, Christina, my son Jesse, Alice. I mean, we got a lot of leaders, but that wasn't there then. That was not there. There was no Grand Prairie. There was no two churches in Fort Worth. There was no Alcanza Victoria. There was no Victory Outreach El Paso. There was no Victory Outreach Carrollton. There was nothing. It was just us four and no more.
Wow.
Amen.
Come on, man.
And I just want you to know that inside of me and Valerie, and this is what my pastor would teach us, and Pastor Ed would say, the ministry is in the man. The ministry is in the man,
yes, yes.
Which means this, that every one of us represent a city and every one of us represent people.
Yeah.
And me and Valerie never knew that inside of me and her, through God, Grand Prairie was inside of us.
Yeah.
Fort Worth was inside of us. Wichita Falls was inside of us. Carrollton was inside of us. Amen. We never, you know, Austin wasn't there, San Antonio wasn't there. It was just Houston and us, and I think a church in Corpus, and it was just a few of us. And now look what God has done.
Yes.
Look what God has done, and look what God is going to continue to do.
Right.
You know, God is going to continue to build ministries and build churches, and the way my pastor said it was he wants to build a base. And I really, you know, and I say this humbly, that Victory Outreach Church of Dallas is not a ministry and it's not a church. It's a base.
Amen.
We are a base church.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yes.
And I've learned so much working with Pastor Ed, and Pastor Ed working with me and working in the office with him and traveling with him and being around him and praying with him and seeing the way he studied and just learning like Elijah and Elisha, same thing.
Right.
And I was able to bring that to Dallas, amen. And you know, it's such a beautiful thing to be here this morning and then to see this.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. To see this. Amen. And then the morning service. Amen. To see all the Mexicanos que estaban aquí. Amen. What a beautiful thing, amen. And so, you know, I want to, you know, just compliment you, but I also want to just build on top of what your pastor's been preaching, amen.
Yeah,
and I know that, amen, the first service, we were limited with time, so, you know, if you'll just give me 3 hours, amen, we'll get through this. Amen. You know, Golden Corral will not run out of chicken, amen. You know, restaurants will not run out of pizza. There'll still be pizza there. There'll still be food, and you are not going to die.
Amen.
I need to eat. Amen. You'll eat, but you need to eat spiritually first. Amen.
Amen.
Eat spiritually, and then you can feed the gods of the stomach later. Amen. And so I want to just, you know, preach on something I know that your pastor's been talking about, and because I know him. So I know he's been talking about vision. You know, I think all our messages, we always mention giving, evangelism, you know, the 3 C's, the 5 V's, and vision.
Yeah.
And so I titled this message, The High Cost of Vision. The high cost of vision. I want you to know that vision is going to cost you blood, sweat, and tears. Vision that God has given our ministry is going to cost you everything. It's going to cost us everything. Amen. So I'm going to ask you, amen, to get a hold of your Bibles, amen, or to your iPads or your phone. Amen. Do not go to Facebook. Amen. Turn your Bibles, amen, to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 6. Bypass, you know, Instagram, amen. Bypass Facebook, bypass Twitter, amen. You can see all your notifications later, and you can go back and look at your selfie, how many people liked it, amen. Thank God they don't have thumbs down, amen. Because some people would really, really get some thumbs down. Amen. And self-esteem is already tore up. Amen. And how bad would that make us? Amen. But we can go back and look at all that later. Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Right now, we want to just focus on what God has for us. Amen. Let's listen to what the Lord has. And I believe that if you pay attention, amen, you'll be blessed. Amen. The high cost of vision. Amen. 2 Kings chapter 6. Do you have it? Say amen.
Amen.
Verses 8. Amen. The characters in this story is Elisha, and then it's one of his servants, amen, and then it is a king, Ben-Hadad, and he is a king of Syria, and we're going to take it from verses 8, amen. It says, now the king of Aram, which is Syria, was at war with Israel. After conferring with his officers, he said, I will set up camp in such and such a place. The man of God sent word to the king of Israel, beware of passing Oh, he tells the king, the man of God sent word to the king of Israel, beware of passing that place because the Armenians are going down there. So the king of Israel checked on the place indicated by the man of God time and again. Elisha warned the king, so the king was on his guard in such a place. This enraged the king of Aram. He summoned his officers and demanded of them, will you not tell me which of us is on the side of the king of Israel? None of us, my lord the king, said one of the soldiers. But Elisha, the prophet, who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom. Go find out where he is, the king ordered, so that I can send men and capture him. The report came back that he is in Dothan. Then he sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. They went by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, the army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. Oh, my Lord, what shall we do? The servant asked. Don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Those that are with us are more than those that are with them. And Elisha prayed, O Lord, open the eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. As the armies came down towards him, Elisha prayed, and strike these people with blindness. So he struck them with blindness, as Elijah had asked. And Elisha told them, this is not the road, this is not the city. Follow me, and I will lead you to the man you are looking for. And he led them to Samaria. After they entered the city, Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men so that they can see. Then the Lord opened their eyes, and they looked, and they were inside Samaria. When the king of Israel saw them, he asked Elisha, shall I kill them, my father? Shall I kill them? Do not kill them, he answered. Would you kill them if you captured them with your own sword and bow? Set food and water before them so that they may eat and drink and then go back to their master. So he prepared a great feast for them. And after they had finished eating and drinking, he sent them away. And they returned to their master so that the band of the Syrians, the band of Aram, stopped raiding Israel's territory. I know that was a lot of reading, amen. But I hope that you understand what is happening here. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord Jesus. I pray that God, this message, the high cost of vision, I pray that God, Victory Outreach, this ministry here, Grand Prairie, would understand what you say. Speak clearly, God. Minister to every person, God, whether they're new, whether they've been here a long time, whether they're members or not. I pray, Holy Spirit, minister, speak to us all as you challenge us. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, everybody says.
Amen.
Everybody says.
Amen.
This king of Syria's name was Ben-Hadad. Ben-Hadad had an issue with Israel, didn't like Israel. It seems like a lot of the people in the Old Testament always came against Israel. They didn't come against Israel, they came against Judah. They always came against the people of God. And here's a story that is put in God's word to show you and I that God is able to use anybody to be able to shut the mouth of the lion.
Amen.
That God is able to raise up leaders. That God is able to raise up prophets. That God is able to raise up servants. But there's one thing that needs to happen to the servant is that the servant needs to understand the high cost of vision.
Amen.
Wow.
Amen.
You got to understand the high cost of vision.
Come on.
You know, here was the king, Ben-Hadad, and he constantly wanted to raid Israel. And every time that he strategized to surround them, every time he strategized to destroy them, every time he strategized to come in as a surprise attack, somehow, some way, the prophet would know exactly what he was up to, and he would tell the king of Jerusalem, he would tell him, look at King Ben-Hadad, he is going to do this, he's going to go here, he's going to try to do this, he's going to attempt to go here, and the king of Jerusalem would always go and be one step ahead of this king. While this king finally had enough and gathered all his leaders and said, who is the one that is ratting us off? Who is the one that is telling Jerusalem every strategic move that we want to make? Who is telling
telling them that we're going to attack them when we don't even attack them, but we plan to, and then they know exactly every move that we make. Isn't that like God, to know every move that the devil wants to make up against your family, up against your marriage, up against your children? My friend, I want you to know that the way God sees things is the way an x-ray machine works.
Come on now.
Now, I know some of you have had x-rays. People say, you know, or doctors say, well, they don't know what's going on inside your body. And, you know, I got a pain right here, and I got pain right here, and I got this here, and I feel this, and I feel that. And they say, we're going to have to take an x-ray.
Yeah.
And they slap you into a machine. And they take an x-ray, and they see everything inside of you. What does God see when he looks inside you?
Come on now.
Don't fear. Don't freak out. Because I think that God sees potential.
Amen.
I think that God sees the potential that is inside the church. That God sees the potential that is inside of you.
Yes.
And here was this young man. That all of a sudden, you know, he's working for this king of Syria. And you know what amazes me? Is that this young soldier that was working for Syria knew the reputation of Jerusalem and knew that there was a prophet in Jerusalem and that God was with Jerusalem and that God was with Elisha, that when the king asked, who is telling Jerusalem all our strategies and all our plans? And this soldier jumps up and says, there is a prophet by the name of Elisha, and Elisha is the one that every move you make, because he hears everything you say. As a matter of fact, O king, he can hear everything you whisper in your bedroom. Wow. Ooh, what are you whispering in your bedroom? Wow. Pastor was too loud. Pastor was too long. Did you hear that song? Did you see what she was wearing? Did you see what he wore? What's going on in the bedroom?
Come on now.
That the prophet was connected with God to the extent that he even heard the whispers of the king in his bedroom.
Wow.
And so this king says, you know what? Go and find him and bring him back. Nah, don't bring him back because I want to talk to him. Bring him back because we are going to execute him. We want to kill him. We want to destroy him. Because if we're going to advance over Israel, if we're going to advance over Jerusalem, we need to eliminate this prophet. You know that the devil wants to get rid of you because he knows the damage that you can do. Because the way God sees you, he sees the potential that you can make in this ministry. He sees the things that you can do through the city because of God. It's amazing to me, though, that some of us can't even see that. Huh?
Come on, Pastor.
So here's where we take the story. Elisha's servant goes to the window, and he opens the blinds. And as he opens the blinds to the window, he sees a massive army of Syria. And he sees them covering this whole mountain. And the first thing he does is the very thing that you would do if you've seen it too. He panicked.
Yeah.
He panicked, and he tells the master what's happening outside, and he's telling them, what are we going to do?
Come on.
What's going to happen? There was fear that gripped his heart.
That's right. Wow.
Elisha, the first thing he says is, don't worry about it.
Right.
Don't worry about it. I mean, this servant had to hear this prophet probably say it like that and know that the prophet really lost it this time. Just like when your pastor gets up here and he begins to preach about taking cities in North Texas and he begins to say it's going to be you and you and you. I know you're single, but you'll be getting married soon with the woman of God. You'll be getting married with the man of God, and God's going to raise you up and you'll be a pastor. You'll be an evangelist. You'll be a home director. God's going to put an instrument in your children's hand. God's going to bless you to do something great. And you can hear all that and feel like, I don't know if I can really. Oh, listen, when God is in front of you and when God is the one orchestrating everything, who are we whatever he wants.
That's right, amen, amen. That's right.
This servant had to hear his master, the prophet, and say he lost it this time.
Yeah.
Now, what's the greatest thing that the Lord has given the human body? Let me tell you. The greatest thing that the Lord has given the human body, no, it's not, sir, your biceps.
Well, you know, you haven't seen me without a shirt.
We don't want to see you without a shirt. Oh, you don't know what I can do. We don't know what you want to do. We just want to see you work under the unction of the Spirit of God.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The greatest thing found in the human body is the human eyes. It's the human eyes. To be able to see. The human eye has the ability to see and to detect, to see different colors, to see shapes, to see sizes, to see faces, and to see all of God's creation all around us.
Right.
The human eye is amazing.
Yes.
The way that it works. That's why you should take care of them.
Because
you only get two.
Come on. Right.
Unless you get a pair of glasses, now you got four.
Right.
You got to take care of your vision.
Yes.
You got to take care of your vision. What do they say? Don't read books in the dark.
Come on.
But what do we, you know, our teenagers are not called teenagers no more. They're called screenagers.
Oh.
They don't know nothing about bikes. They don't know nothing about climbing trees. They don't know nothing about climbing rope. They don't know nothing about a big wheel. You tell them, hey, you got a big wheel. A big wheel? What's a big wheel? What's a skateboard? What's marbles? That was all the stuff that we were into before social media hit. You know, in front of my house, there's a bus that stops and about 30-something kids get off. And I look at all these kids, I say, where the heck do they live? I never see all these kids.
Wow.
Because all of them go home and straight on the computer.
Yeah.
And I can prove it because some of your kids are not even 2 years old. I want the iPad. I bet. She don't even know how to say Jesus. She wants to say I bet. Or phone. You want my phone? No, I said no. You go ask your mom. I need my phone. Little babies. To be able to see all the creation that God has built around us.
Yeah. Yes.
The church also has sight.
Right.
But I don't think that we could get away with just having a church that has sight. We could only do what God wants us to do when the church doesn't have sight, but it has vision. And if you're going to have vision, listen, it's going to cost you everything to have a vision, because when you just have sight, sight is the ability to see what's in front of you. When vision sees the potential in others, sight will only make you see what is. Vision will make you see what can it be. Sight will make you see what is happening. Vision will make you see what is going to happen. Sight sees present. Vision sees the promises of God.
Amen.
So which one do you have?
Amen.
Remember my older brother, you know, he would say, ¿Qué miras? I said, what? He says, ¿Qué miras con esos ojos que tiras? I said, what you looking at? What you looking at? What do you see? What do you, there is something that happens to the human eye when the whole body gets converted.
Yeah.
When you get saved, everything about you is different.
Right.
Isn't it true? I mean, I'm talking to those that are really saved. Amen.
Come on.
I'm not talking to the carnal Christian, the lukewarm Christian. I'm not talking to the one that after this you're going to go buy some beer. I'm not talking to those of you that have cigarettes in your car. Amen. I'm not talking to you that are all panicking about the coronavirus. Don't worry about the coronavirus, man. God delivered you from the Budweiser virus, the Michelob virus, the Coors virus. He'll deliver you from the coronavirus too. Amen?
Right, amen.
Huh? I'm talking to those, amen, that really experience a change in their life and how they see things now. See, this is one of the things concerning the servant of Elisha, is that he only had sight and he didn't have vision. And the good thing about the prophet, which is the good thing about your pastor, because I know your pastor, is that your pastor is not going to let you get away with just having good eyesight.
Right.
Just think of, oh, what a good service we have, Pastor. Yeah, yeah. Wow, I see so many people there. And I see a lot of new people. And I see that the chairs are getting full. Yeah. No, my friend, that somebody is able to speak the way God wants you to speak. And say, man, God filled the house up with nothing but potential leaders. That God is raising up an army, that God is raising up a base church, that God is raising a man that desire to be anointed by God, to be touched by God, that God is raising a couple that want to be separated unto God and say, God, if you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. All I need is to submit myself and not put up with sight, but desire vision. Ray Charles and Stevie Wonder had no sight, but they had vision for themselves. These men did not have sight, but they had vision. Vision to play a guitar that some of you don't even know how. Vision to play a piano that some of us don't even know how. Vision to sing that none of us will ever get to that point in singing like those men. The success, the wealth, they had a vision for themselves. What about you? Do you just have sight or do you have vision? If you have sight, my friend, I don't want to be around you. Listen to me. If all you have is sight, you are going to be like this servant that panics at everything we do. Every movida that we make, you panic. Every time, oh, that family left the church. Hey, listen, even the church has a broom.
Come on.
Even God has to clean house.
Right.
Huh? Oh, this, that, listen, man, there is no perfect church.
Come on.
There is no perfect church. And you'll never find a perfect church. You'll never find perfect leaders. You'll never find a perfect pastor. None of us are perfect, only God himself. And if all you have is sight, it's a dangerous thing, because as soon as we desire to step out into the deep, as soon as this church desires to capture the vision of God and say, we are going to do some great things for God with or without you. We're going to do some great things with God. Of course, we want it to be with you, but you got to be a part of what's happening, and you just can't have sight. You got to have vision for what we're talking about. You got to have vision for what we're talking about. You can have all the sight in the world, but if you don't have vision, you are in a whole lot of trouble.
That's right.
See, vision is going to sustain you through difficult times.
Yes.
It's the vision of God. How does this work? I've had my back up against the wall time and time again. I've been criticized. People want to judge the book by its cover. If you want to judge the book by its cover, listen, the only thing you're going to miss out on is reading a good book. We faced everything in our church. We're growing. Things are happening. God's raising up leaders, raising up finances. And there's always those ones that only have sight but don't have vision. Sometimes there's friendly fire in the church. The stuff that happens in the church comes from within the church. We can't even blame the devil. Because this is people that don't desire vision. Why? Because there's a high cost in vision.
Yes.
For us to have vision, everything has to change. Vieja, you got to change. Vieja, you got to change. Children, you got to change. My money can't be funny. It's got to change.
That's right.
Everything's got to change. Things got to change.
Yes.
You can't just look at things with sight and say, you know, my kids are not serving the Lord. Listen, it's not going to stay like that forever, because the vision that God has given us is that when you give your heart to God, he will save you, but he will save the rest of your family. They will all bend the knee to Jesus. The vision will sustain us through difficult times, and rest assured, there will be difficult times.
Amen.
There will be some difficult times.
Yeah.
To see the good outcome that God has for us, to see the good outcome that God has for our ministry, to see the great things that God is doing in California, the great things that God is doing there in Chino, California, in San Diego, and in San Jose, and all these other churches that are growing, and great things are happening. For us to have that same victory, and for us to have that same breakthrough, we got to develop the same vision. Can't be looking at things and always looking for a can. All we do is look for a can. We want to walk around kicking a can. Get woe is me, get woe is dad, and me. Everything always has to be about you. You know, everything switches. It's always about you. It cannot always be about you.
That's right, amen.
It cannot always be about you, my friend. You just got to know that things are going to come your way, and it's going to be those very things that God's going to use to mold you and to shape you and to make you strong. And what doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Right, amen.
It's those trials, and it's that tribulation, and it's all that stuff that you go through, my friend, that God shows up in the midst of it all. Because you have vision to pray. You have vision to believe. Amen. When the devil wants you to be negative, you stay positive. And when something bad happens, you bring out something good. And you tell the devil, listen, what you meant for harm, God's going to bring out something good. I may not understand what God is going to do. I may not see how he's going to do it. But I know this, that my God has never let me down. And my God is not about to let me down. See, in verses 15, when they approached this house, when they were approaching the house of Elisha, they approached him with the plan of killing him.
Yeah, that's right.
And I want you to know that 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, it says, we are troubled on both sides, but not in distress, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. Here is the Apostle Paul testifying that all these things are going to happen. Difficult times are going to come, but it is God Almighty himself that sends an angel, that sends the Spirit of God to come and to deliver us and to give us victory. You're still here because of the power of God. You're still here because of the anointing of God. I am going on 38 years serving God because God has been with me. It has not been money. It has not been my family. It has not been a career. It has been God that has followed me all the days of my life. When I was 19 years old till now, my friend, God has not let me down. But do you think that God has to work alone? No, my friend. There has to be also those in the church that believe that God can work like that. You got to believe that that's how God works.
That's right, man.
You can't doubt him, because as soon as you doubt him, the door opens and the enemy finds his way in. The servant responds in what he sees. He responds in how he sees things. How does he respond? Look at it, my friend. Look at verses 15. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots surrounded the city. Oh, my Lord, what shall we do? The servant asked. Don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Here is a picture of the host of heaven.
Amen.
That there is nothing, not even the demonic power, that is more than the host of heaven. These are the angels of God. These are the workers of God. These are those that protect you and I.
Thank you, Jesus.
The servant responds in how he sees it. And then he hears what the prophet says in verses 16. Basically, he says, you're wrong. Those that are with us are more than those that are with them. Naturally, Elisha, it is you and it is me. That is one, two. There's two of us. There is a whole army that are out there. So I don't understand what you're saying. You know, the prophet doesn't really, you know, use it against him. All he says is that he prays for him. And what we want to do after all this is said and done is pray for you. We want to pray for you, just like Elisha prayed for him. That's what he did. He prayed for him. A petition developed. I need to pray for you. Because you are not seeing things the way I've been seeing things. I have experienced the way God has been working, not just with Elijah, but now in our ministry. I have seen what God has done in the past, present, and future. And I know that God is about to do something. And I know that I know that I know that those that are with us are more than those that are with them. I don't care how many of you are here right now. There are more here than there are out there. There are more here than there are in the world. There are more here. They got the Spirit of Jesus. They got the love of God. They got the mercy and the grace of God inside their hearts to do way more than anybody could do with the degree. And he prays for him.
Thank you, Jesus.
This is where vision comes through for you and I. Because we hear our pastors every Sunday. They talk about building churches and cities. But they say, listen, before we could take Irving, before we could take any other city, we need to take Grand Prairie. We need to take Oak Cliff. We need to take Arlington. Because listen to me, Victory Irish Grand Prairie, if you don't take Grand Prairie, Grand Prairie's going to take you. I know some of you macho men, not on my watch. And I believe it. I believe not on your watch. But he will come in and start pulling families out. And he'll pull people out. And he'll pull individuals out. And they'll go right back to where God pulled them out of.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
We got to take cities. You got to take your city first.
Yes.
We talk about fulfilling pledges. If you look at it with just sight, you're never going to fulfill it. You got to look at it with vision. You got to see what your finances is able to do here in the church, because this is your storehouse. Joyce Myers is not your storehouse. Marilyn Hickey is not your storehouse. T.D. Jakes is not your storehouse. If he was your storehouse, the next time your marriage falls apart, call T.D. Jakes and see if he comes and counsels you. Call Joyce Myers and see if she flies in her plane to your house to counsel you and your husband. No, it'll be your pastors. It'll be Josh. It'll be the different leaders that are going to go to your house and help you and love you and encourage you. This is your storehouse. That there may be meat in my house, saith the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Somebody say amen.
Amen. This is why we must give. Listen, I ain't got nothing against none of these churches and none of these pastors.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
But when I give finances, I give it to Victory Armies, because that's our ministry.
Yes.
I am a Diamond Plus member. We don't give nickel and dimes. And I know there's always a starter, and bless God, man. You, if that's where you're at, that's where you're at. As long as you're doing it, and as long as you are a member of United We Can, we believe in world mission. Not only do I love the state of Texas, not only do I love Dallas, but I love South America, and I love Mexico, and I love Australia, and I love Europe, and I love Africa. And that's why I want to give. I may not go, but my money can.
Right.
And we fulfill pledges for World Conference.
Right.
And we fulfill pledges for different things that they ask us, because we're asking the church to fulfill pledges.
Wow. Yes.
And we can't even fulfill them ourselves to the organization. How will people in the church do it? It'll happen when you have vision.
Right.
The vision is not taught. The vision is caught.
Amen.
You got to catch the vision.
Yes.
Huh? Every time your pastor comes up, he'll talk about building bigger. Building big, aren't you satisfied? Come on, aren't you satisfied? Man, we can never be satisfied. We're never going to be satisfied. Even after we grow out of this, when it gets something bigger, and we go into 300 and 400 people, there are some people that are going to come with us to those churches, and they're just going to have sight, and they're going to say, man, aren't you happy now? Come on, you got 500 people. Ya que quieres? Wow. See, we're not satisfied. We're not satisfied. There's too many drug addicts on the street. There's too many crack monsters on the street. There's too many marriages falling apart. There's too many abused children in our world today. There's too many kids that are running away and committing crimes and dying for useless things. Now we got to get to work.
Yes.
Got to build bigger.
Wow.
Huh? See, we got a big vision.
Yes.
What I say to people is that you better catch up to it.
Come on.
You better grow up and you better catch up to the vision.
Yes.
Because I want you to know, being in our city for 25 years, I told men a long time ago, and Francisco was a part of those men, that I said, listen, if you don't grow, the church is going to outgrow you. And you're not going to be comfortable here no more. You're not going to say amen to the messages no more. You're going to be burned out on altar calls because you're not grabbing this thing no more. Because the church has outgrown you. And now those that you led to the Lord have become your leaders. See, the servant of Elisha just had sight. He didn't have vision.
Amen.
Why is vision important, and why is there a high cost in it? Because I want you to know, not only am I a father, not only am I a pastor, not only am I a husband, not only am I a leader, but I have to have vision for every one of those things that I'm a part of.
Yes.
I'm a father. I have three kids. All three of my kids are teenagers, and they're all serving the Lord.
Amen.
We have vision for them. We have vision. My wife prayed for our babies when they were little. She prayed for them when they were little and said, I pray for their husband. I pray for their wife. I pray for my son's wife. That she becomes a spiritual woman. Yes. That she is a woman of God. Yes. I don't want my son just marrying anything that walks up to him and says, you're cute.
Come on now.
Come on, man. That's right.
I don't want my daughters marrying a guy just because he wears a little shirt. We pray for our children.
That's right, amen.
We pray for our children to marry the right.
That's right.
And my son married the right girl.
Yes.
Right. And my daughter married the right man.
Yeah.
He's a pastor today, Pastor Edward.
Yes.
My son Jesse with Elsa. My daughter Bebe, thank God she got out of a relationship she was in that was not of God.
Amen.
Now she's talking about going to Africa.
Come on.
She just came back from Panama. We pray for our children as a father, as a husband. As a husband, I have to pray for my wife.
Right.
Yes. I have to be there for my wife. I could push her. Listen, I could push her. I could have made her come. I guarantee you she would have been sitting right there, and all you would hear is coughing. But she would have came if I told her. If I would have made her come, she would have came. But I got to be a leader that understands I need her healthy.
Amen.
I need my wife out. I am not going to burn her out.
Amen.
I am not going to force her to do things. I'm going to tell her, listen, man, you need to rest, man. You're going to be taking off to L.A. You're going to be out there for 6 days, man. You need to get well.
Amen.
Can't afford my wife catching a pneumonia. I got to be a good leader to her.
Amen.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
I got a vision for my family.
Right.
I got a vision for my church.
Yes.
Man, we're a growing church.
Yeah, that's right.
We're breaking barriers.
Amen.
300, 350.
Amen.
You know, and when we look at our church, man, when I stand up before my church on Sunday, I look and I go, oh my God. Mm. Now, I know for a fact, this is where my bubble gets popped. I know for a fact that these people are not coming back to see me. Hello, somebody.
Come on.
It's got to be God.
Yeah.
It's got to be God.
Yeah.
These people come back and they give.
Yes.
And you know, our church is a giving church. I taught our church to give. I'm not taking all the credit. Don't get scared with the word I. Okay? When I say I, I'm always referring to what God has done.
Amen.
But you know, we have a big building. And we have a growing church. We have a lot of ministries in our church.
Amen.
And I don't know what you guys pay here. But we almost, every month, we almost pay $14,000 a month.
Oh, my
That's
God.
Just the rent.
My God.
Man, Pastor, how do you do? I don't know.
Come on,
you know,
man.
I said, Paul, go roll the bag. He would if I told him, but he won't. How do we do it? God provides. This is the stuff that we preach that my church grabs.
Yes.
They understand the vision.
Yes.
And they tithe from their income tax.
Yes.
And they tithe not 10%, but 12%, 13%, 14%, 15%.
Yes.
We challenge them to have vision.
Yes.
Help us get more churches out.
Yes.
Oh, yes. You want them to give because you want a bigger house? I don't want a bigger house. I got a house. I don't want a bigger house.
Come on.
I hear people, we got a little house, we want a bigger house. You don't even have anybody living with you, you want a bigger house.
Come on.
Huh? I don't want a bigger house. You just want a bigger car. I don't want a better car. I got a 2012 Charger. My wife has a 2012 Charger. I got a 1951 Chevy, and I am happier than 10 clowns.
Come on.
Oh, you just want that. Oh, you just want that. Oh, you just want a suit. Listen, man, I could take $15 and go to the Goodwill and get a better suit than what you get at the men's warehouse. I'm giving up my secrets, man. Don't go over there and take all the suits. I'm going to take all the suits now. I don't want to see you on OfferUp selling suits. Huh? You got to have vision.
Yeah.
You got to have vision. Our church has vision. This church has vision. Right. Our region's got vision. Our pastors got vision. Yes. Our leaders got vision. Yes. Charles got vision. Paul got vision. Yes. Michael, Christine got vision. Sylvia got vision. Valerie got vision. We got vision.
Come on.
There was a song in the way, I can see clearly now, the rain is gone. I don't want to see, I want to have vision.
Yes.
I want to have, and you know what, can I be honest with you, and I'm going to almost land this thing, I got more notes, I'm not going to finish it, but let me just say this. When we came 25 years ago, did I have strong vision? No. I'm 57 years old, subtract 25 from that, that gives you whatever, right? I was in my 30s. Half of the stuff that we didn't even know what we were doing.
Yeah.
We did things a la brava. Just a la brava, man. The dramas, the concerts. And I did a lot of stuff. I played congas, I played timbales, I tried the drums. I bought instruments I didn't even know how to play.
Right.
Huh? I led worship. I broke all the cymbals on the drums. I wanted rappers in our church in the early days and nobody wanted to rap. So guess what I did? Yeah, I wrote one. Being in the city a year and a half, I would write songs for Valerie for our anniversary. Because I didn't have no money to buy her nothing. So I would write songs or I would write poems. And I would get people in the home that knew how to play a guitar or play a bass. And I'd say, God, give me a beat. Give me an oldies beat. Hello, somebody.
Come on.
And start changing words to the oldies songs. And I would sing them to her. We just stepped out in faith.
Amen.
I was trying to teach the men in our church to be romantic.
Come on.
Because some guys don't know how to be romantic.
Right.
You're not gonna be romantic at all, man. You know how to kill a moment. If anything, you know how to kill is a moment.
Wow.
Huh? Don't know how to be romantic. Want to teach the men how to be romantic. Take care of their marriages.
Yes.
Take care of their families.
Yeah.
All the things that I did in the beginning, I eventually got kicked off of everything. I got kicked off the instruments. They told me, please stop singing. No more songs. And I said, I thought I did pretty good. You want the truth? You can't handle the truth. They said, stop rapping. No more rap songs. I said, but I still got another one, man. I got one. No. And God started raising up the youth in the church to rap. That's when he raised up the law click. Huh? Then he started to raise up piano players. And then my son Jesse, he learned to play the drums, amen, like Jose does. Because all our drummers were backsliding. They were all backsliding. I could never keep a drummer.
Yeah.
It's like the drums were cursed. So I told my son Jesse, I said, Jesse, I need you to play the drums. He said, I don't want to play the drums. I said, get on the drums. No, get on the drums. No, get on the drums. And so he just learned to. And I said, come on, step on the face, do a little roll, man. Just come on, hurry up and sing, man. Hurry up. So I grabbed the drumstick, I started pounding the cymbals. And, I'm so glad Jesus set me free. Estoy feliz, Cristo me salvó. Victory shall be mine. He learned how to play them one way or another. I'll break all your cymbals. Did I have solid vision? No, I didn't have solid vision. I attempted everything and anything. We did everything, even your pastor. Later on, you know, I started to do this thing where I dressed like a cholo, and then we started taking stuff off little by little, and then under the cholo clothes was a suit, and then we started to do Big Frank. Why? Because once again, they kicked me off. I said, man, we don't need you to do that no more. You're old school. I mean, you're too old school. We need a new guy. And so Frankie started doing it. And they started doing dramas because I was doing all the dramas. But all the dramas I did, I used all kinds of oldies that the people in Texas weren't into it.
Yeah.
Everybody was like, what in the heck is that? It was like grandpa music. And then all the Tejanos were like, you gotta play this. You gotta play some Selena. I go, Selena, who's Selena? Even when she died, man, everybody was crying. You know, when she died, and you know, man, praise the Lord, I'm not talking about her, making fun of her. I didn't know who she was. And you know, we had a little house full of people, and everybody was outside, and I go, what happened? You know, because we were having a service, and that's when they announced it, that happened. And there was about 7, 8, 9 kids in my front house. I go, what happened? They're all crying. Everybody's like, ah. I go, what happened? Selena died. I go, Selena, who's Selena? She live around here? Selena, you don't know Selena. Biri, biri, bom, bom, la flor. I go, no, I don't know. Biri, biri, bom, bom, or la flor. I don't know. Who is that? You know, the internet wasn't out at the time.
Yeah.
The internet wasn't out, you know? I mean, you had to dial it. Remember you had to dial it? And nobody ever answered it? The internet, no one ever answered it. It just rang and rang and rang and never answered. I could never get on it. It seemed like all the lines were busy and everybody all around the world was on it. And so it was busy for me. So I didn't know, you know, I was totally oblivious. I was oblivious.
Amen.
But you know what God started to do? God started to open my eyes.
Amen.
That's what happened to the servant here. God opened his eyes. He prayed.
Amen.
And then the funny thing about the whole thing is that God opened the servant's eyes and caused the enemy to be blinded.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
He brought blindness on the Syrians.
Yeah. Come on.
You know, Elisha goes up to all this army. And you know the servant is acting tough now. He's like... Look at all these guys. They're all blind. They can't see. They're all... And then the prophet speaks and says, hey, the one you're looking for is not here. But I'm going to take you to the one you're looking for. So follow me. I don't know how they follow, you know. I don't know how they follow the prophet all the way to Samaria. But the whole army ended up in Samaria under the king of Israel. And when they were all in front of the enemies that were theirs, which was Jerusalem... Then the prophet says, see how the prophet had the power to close eyes and open eyes?
Amen. That's good.
And then he looks at the Syrian army. He says, Lord, what you did for my servant, do it for them. Open their eyes from this blindness. Let them see. And they opened their eyes, and they were in front of the king of Israel. And they're like, oh no, we just got captured. We are busted. And then the king of Jerusalem says, should we kill him? Let's kill him. Come on. And the prophet says, no. Don't kill him.
Yeah.
Feed him. Feed him. They've been our enemies for so long. Here they are. Right in front of us. We can destroy them. The prophet says, no. No. Feed them.
Wow.
Have a feast.
Wow.
Feed them.
Wow.
How do you get to people's heart? Through their stomach.
That's right.
So they fed them. They had a fellowship.
Right.
And what happened was that it changed the minds of the Syrian army. And Jerusalem let them go. And said, go back to your king, the one that wants to kill us and destroy us. Go back and show them that we mean them no harm. The enemies of the church sometimes are those that were in our churches and they leave and they talk bad about us.
Wow.
What's the best thing to do is don't join the party and start doing that back.
That's right.
You can't fight fire with fire.
That's right.
You pray for them.
Yes.
You pray. See, that's what vision does. Vision changes your whole perspective. Changes your whole perspective on stuff.
Yeah.
The power on Elisha was to open the eyes of the servant. He was able to see. what Elisha had always been seeing. I know there's some of you here that say, man, I want to see what God sees. But it's better that you say this. I want to see what Pastor Francisco sees.
Come on, amen, amen. That's right.
Because if you can see what your pastor sees, right. If you can see what Sylvia sees, if you can see what Francisco sees, you'll see what God sees.
Yes. Amen. 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 Amen, that's right, amen.
When we launched him into Grand Prairie, you weren't here. Amen. This wasn't here.
Yeah.
This did not fit in the little car that they had.
Thank you.
But this was inside of them.
Amen.
It was inside of them.
I remember
his beautiful daughters. He didn't have his daughters. Huh? His parents had them. And then he was, man, Uncle Frank, God's going to give him back, man. God's going to give him back. God's going to give you your babies, bro. I mean, I give you all that other stuff that's connected to it and stuff, but those two, God's gonna give you, bro. And when I stand there, when I sit there, you know, when I'm observing, I see them up here singing. I see them doing great things for God. I see Sylvia as their mom. I see their boy on the drums. What is that? You know why my son is saved today? Because God put some sticks in his hands. Why is Daryl the regional in the gang of North Texas, Central Texas, and South Texas? Because God put sticks in his hands. It was the instruments that kept those two guys, my son Jesse and Daryl. Because somebody had vision.
Thank you.
Your pastor has vision not just for his kids and for his marriage, but he has vision for you, for your children, for your marriage, for this city. You know what my prayer is? My prayer is the same as your pastor's. Open their eyes.
Yes.
I remember Mondo and Christine coming to our church years ago. They were a piece of work. God worked in their lives. God worked in their lives. They came, they were hurt, they were damaged, things happened. They were part of another church, Rio. Things didn't work out the way we really felt they could have. They came. So just stick it out. Just stick it out. God's going to do something. They will go through their changes, their ups and downs. But we have vision.
Thank you, Jesus.
We have vision. God, just stick it out. Just stick it out. Watch. Watch what God does. Same thing, Kevin and Mildred. Same thing, Mike and Wanda. Same thing with all our leaders in the church.
Thank you, Jesus.
We've seen something. Do you see that for your family?
Amen.
Do you see that for your marriage?
Yes, amen.
Do you see that when the minister's up here picking up and receiving the tithes and offering? Or do you get mad? Do you get upset?
Come on.
Are you mad because we're coming back at 5 o'clock today?
Come on,
now. I ain't coming. I don't care what they say. It don't matter. I ain't coming back. You know, I got things to do. You know, I'm in the middle of a Netflix movie. You know, I'm watching a series. You know, it's not over. I got to catch it because I got to go to work tomorrow. So I got to catch about 3 more of them. So next time something happens in your family, call Netflix to come and help you.
Come on now.
Open their eyes.
Yes.
Open their eyes. And God heard the prophet and did it.
Yes.
And God will do it for you.
Thank you.
Amen.
God will do it for you.
Amen.
Look at the person sitting next to you and tell, hey, we're going to stand up right now. Tell them that. Hey, we're going to stand up right now. But open your eyes. Remember America Me? How many remember America Me? Open your eyes, vato. Open your eyes, vato.
Thank you, Jesus.
And of course, you know, we know, you got hit. But open your eyes. Open your eyes. Because we're about to do some damage to the devil.
Amen.
We're about to do some damage to the enemy. We're going to the enemy's camp.
Yes.
We're going to take back what he stole from us. Stand with me. Come on, lift your hands right now. Just lift your hands. Close your eyes. Lift your hands. Give this time to the Lord. Give it to the Lord now. I'm done. Let the Spirit do what he needs to do. Let the Spirit go where he needs to go. Let him bless you. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you, God. Lord, I pray Lord, that you open our eyes to have this vision that Pastor Sonny has spoken about time and time again. This vision, my God, that you've given to us, where your word says, God, that without a vision, the people perish. With no vision, the outcome is the same. Perish. No longer exist. Die. Give us vision, God, to be able to see in the direction that the Spirit is leading Victory Outreach Grand Prairie. In the direction that you're leading our ministry, God. Let us be obedient, God, to the voice behind the voice of our pastors and leaders, God, that speak about where the ministry is going and how we're going to get there and what we're going to do to get there. That we use our vision, God, to hear what you're saying. I pray, God, for those that lack vision. I pray for those, my God, that see everything in a negative form. Oh, God, change it. Please, please, Lord. Those that harbor unforgiveness, God, is because they see something. Change that, God. Help them to see it different, God, so that they can forgive and be free from it. Father, those, my God, that have things in their life, my God, from their childhood, they just see that over and over. Oh, God, give them vision, my God. Give them vision to now know, my God, that it is a different day. It is a different day, and it should not affect their adulthood now. Give them this vision, oh God, to see you in your glory. We need it, God. We need it, Jesus. I need it, Lord. I need it, God. For our church there in Dallas, God, in the direction you're leading us within 3 years. What will we do? Oh, Lord, open doors. This morning, listen, Leo. The story is simple. It's not a difficult one. It's one that you'll hear everywhere. And the beautiful thing about the story is not the eyes opening about the servant. The beautiful thing about the story is the heart that Elijah had for him. That we love you enough. We love you that much to ask God to open your eyes.
Thank you.
To see things different. Does he just open your eyes and now you understand everything? No. No, he opens your eyes to understand this book.
Amen, amen.
There are 66 books in this book. And you trip on reading one book. Here's 66. God gave the Old Testament saints 5 books. The patriarchs, the Pentateuchs. He gave them 5 books for them to study. Moses wrote those 5 books. But for you and I, God says, you can't get away with just 5 books. I need to give you 66. You need 66 books to barely scratch the surface of understanding God. Because to understand God is to have vision. And that vision, my friend, is going to come through the Bible, but it's also going to come through a prayer life. It's going to come through a prayer life. Not only is it going to come from the Bible in your prayer life, but it's also going to come through obedience. To obey is better than to sacrifice. Just to obey God. Listen to God. Follow God. If serving the Lord is undesirable to you, then choose you this day who you will serve.
Come on now.
As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And if your vision has been getting blurry, and if you're facing like going to court and you're facing time, you gotta have vision, man, to know that God's gonna set you free. That God's gonna come through for you. If you're all boggled down because of child support, hey, God's gonna set you free. God's gonna teach you after you graduate, after you do what it is you're doing here in the church. God's gonna teach you how to work and be responsible and pay it off. You gotta have vision for it. I see men in my church have thousands of dollars, man, and now they're just paying it all off. Because now they become responsible men that have vision. To hold down a job. And not to get their first check and go score crack and go score meth.
Come on now.
Not run to the liquor store.
Yeah.
Not run to those places that they call gentlemen's club. Is that really what a gentleman is? Is that really what a gentleman? That is not a gentleman. That's a pervert.
Right.
It's a dog.
Oh, Come on.
I'll tell you this. I got saved at 19 years old. I've never, ever, ever, not even in California, stepped into a place like that. Never. I don't know what goes on in there. Never been a part of that stuff in all my life. I got my wife, and I am happy.
The same. Amen.
Huh? Because God has opened my eyes to a lot of things.
Yes.
Didn't do that for you. What do you got to lose? What do you got to lose? You got nothing to lose and everything to gain.
Yes.
Now I want to open up these altars for those that want God to open their eyes. Because I can't do it. God can. I want those of you to be able to see your life being used by God in a great and mighty way. Without getting proud, but staying humble. See, I know God's got a call on my life. I know that I'm going to do so. I know that I'm not married right now, but I know God's going to bless me with a wife, and she's going to be a woman of God. I'm just not going to take anything that walks up to me. I'm going to be picky, and I am going to be choosy. And men and women of God, listen to me. You have every right. You have every right to be picky and to be choosy. Just don't take anything. You pray. You pray. Says, brother, I've been praying for you. Oh, yeah? Do you pray?
Come on.
Do you love Sister Sylvia?
Wow.
Do you love this vision?
Yes. Wow.
I never see you on Wednesday. I never see you Sunday night. I don't think I'm the one, sister.
Come on.
Come on now.
Hello?
Come on.
God wants to strengthen your vision to see what he sees. To see what he sees. That's you. I'm going to open up these altars. You come. I want to pray for you. As Elisha prayed for his servant, that's you. You come. We're going to sing something appropriate. You come. God's going to bless you. God's going to open your eyes. Let him open your eyes. Your spiritual eyes. Come on. You're not a believer. You're not saved. You want to give your life to God. Here it is. Here's your opportunity. Go all the way. Serve the Lord wholeheartedly. No half-stepping, no faith.
Hallelujah.
Come on, lift your heart. When God opened the servant's eyes, he seen the enemy surrounded by chariots of fire. That's what he seen. What he seen in the beginning with merely sight, it now changed. And he seen the whole army of the Syrians surrounded by chariots of fire. He actually seen what his prophet said come to pass. Those that are with us that you weren't able to see are more than those that are with them that you can now see what I said is true. He now seen what his leader told him, what his pastor told him, what Elisha told him. Your children, your money, your marriage, God's promises to you and God's prophetic word to you is protected by the chariots of fire. God is protecting you. God is protecting us with the chariots of fire. Listen, that is invisible. That is the invisible angels of God that protect you and I. That you can't see, but you know that they're there. You know that they're there. This answers the question, why didn't you die when you were in the coma? Why didn't you die when the car flipped over? Why didn't you die when they shot you? Why didn't you die when you went to prison for the first time? Why didn't you die when they diagnosed you with that? Because God sent his angels and said, I have a plan for your life. I have a plan for your life. Why didn't Francisco die when he was in Oak Cliff being a gang member and a drug addict dying out there? Why did God spare him? Because inside of him was Grand Prairie. Inside of him was North Texas. Inside of him was Arlington. And God said, I must preserve him. Because this is who I'm going to use. And many of you also represent so much. You represent so much. I speak by faith. Chariots of fire around your runaway child, around your daughter that's not saved, around your son that's not saved, around your unsaved husband, your unsaved wife, your unsaved mom, your unsaved dad. You pray for them and you see that they're getting worse. I speak over your life that God is going to protect them with the chariots of fire. You may not see it, but you gotta believe it. Every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Can you believe that? Can you believe that? Let that be the first thing that God shows you. Lift your hands as we pray. And I'm going to turn it over to your pastor. Let's pray. Father, in the name that is above every name, the beautiful name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you, God, for what you did in mine and Valerie's life. God, she's my vision. Lord, the day that I asked her, God, to come with me to be a Christian, she said, okay. When we both went into that Bible study to get saved, God, and she stayed saved with me. And even the times that she said that she didn't want to stay saved, that she wanted to go back to the world, and our Elisha came and talked to us, and she stayed saved. And we both started to grow together, and 2 years later, we got married, and we were serving you, God. Oh, thank you for this vision you gave us, Lord. For our children that were inside of us, for the city of Dallas that was inside of us, for the Texas state that was inside of us. Now I pray, God, I transmit this into the people that are here, God, that you also have promises for them. That these are about to break loose, God, in the spiritual realm. Lord, that their sons and daughters and families that they're praying for are covered, my God, with chariots of fire, that the invisible angels of the heavenly host surrounds our babies, oh God, surrounds our marriages. I don't care what the doctor said, we rebuke it, we bind it in the name of Jesus. Speak healing over their lives, God. We come against cancer, God. We come against diabetes, God. We come against high blood pressure, God. Come against every disease and addiction, God. We break that in Jesus' name. Open the eyes of your people, God, and answer our petitions as you answered Elisha's. To open the eyes of the saints, God. To open the eyes of men and women that are here wanting to see more of you. I ask that you bless me. I ask, God, that you just help them, my God, to be the best that they could be as believers and Christians. members of Victory Outreach, Grandparent. Let them surround their pastors with love and prayers. Financial stability. Fulfilling pledges and promises. I pray for the new people that are here, Lord. Please, God, bring them back. Bring them back. God, let this word be an encouragement to them. Let them be encouraged by this word. Open the eyes of our heart so that we can see, first of all, you and everything that you desire to do through us. Through us. I pray this in the name of Jesus. The beautiful name of Jesus. I ask this. Amen. Amen. And amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. We love you. Amen. Dallas. We love you there in Dallas. Amen. Pray for us. Keep praying for us, and we just continue doing what God wants us to do. Amen. It's not easy, but we